Lord, we pray for all the sick parts of our body. Lord, we know that you are the healer, so we ask that you would heal in the name of Jesus. Everyone who's in this congregation right now that is sick, I pray that they would be healed in Jesus' name. And everyone that cannot even be here because of their sick, whether they're in the hospital at this moment or at their home or wherever they're at, we pray healing in the name of Jesus. Lord, and this morning we ask that you would open our eyes and open our ears to behold wonderful things from your word and from your law, that you would speak to us and declare what you want done in our church and in our valley, God. We pray that every church in the valley is filled with people being saved. And we ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Anyone excited about the word this morning? Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you guys for being excited. You know, last week I had to tell the Kodiak Church that they were allowed to give some shouts out to Jesus. And so I love our church. Does anyone love our church? Yes. Well, this morning I want to look at a passage that we actually covered a little over a year ago. So if you want a greater expansion on it, you can go back in our sermon archive and to last January and find it there. But at that moment, we looked at many of the definitions of this passage. And today I want to look at some of the symbolism in this passage, or in other words, what this passage meant and means, what is going on in the book of Ezekiel chapter 37. And I'll be honest, because I preached this a little over a year ago, I did not want to preach it again, but the Lord would not release it from me. And so after days and days, I finally said, yes, I think I'll be obedient. And I expect you to make it better than I could make it, Lord. But this passage was written in a hopeless situation, and I want you to know that. A hopeless situation where the Jewish people had been dispersed out of their homeland, and it would seem like to many of them that their dreams and everything else, their promises, their future, their hope was dead. And sometimes I know we can feel that way as well, or just be in a type of situation like that. Sometimes it can even spring upon you at any moment. My wife and I were talking with another person that it just flipped like one day to the next. They were fine, and then the next day they were not. Have you ever been in that situation or feeling where just something happens and you start to lose hope? And at the same time, many people had found success in this passage where they had pressed into a situation and made the best of where they were. And that's something that we should all do. But with their success, they had lost hope of what God wanted to do in his promise. And we can also be in that moment. We can often think it's just those that are physically or financially or relationally in a tough spot that need a touch from the Lord. Because we all have moments like that. But hope in God is not just that things get better. I want you to hear this. It's the hope of a right relationship with God and the restoration of his promises in our lives, to be on his path for our future and our present. Our hope is not just eternal, but it's this life being in God's plans and on his path, not just when we are struggling. Because sometimes when we are successful, we can be off of God's path. Just because you've messed up or have been in a bad place or have made decisions that are not good always doesn't mean that you can't right now get into God's plan. And just because you have been successful and things seem to be going well, again, doesn't mean that you are in God's plans, but that doesn't also mean that you can't just right now get into God's plan. Biblical hope is confident expectation. confident expectation that no matter the context, the feeling, or the situation, you believe that it will happen and you act accordingly. So we find the prophet Ezekiel in not just a hopeless situation for his nation and people that had brought on different things because of the idol worship in their life. But we also find Ezekiel being asked to do an impossible task. An impossible task. And I want you to remember that. Have you ever stared at a situation and thought, this is impossible? This is impossible. Sometimes God will also lead you to something that is impossible because he wants to do an impossible thing. And I like this thought that God likes doing impossible things in hopeless situations. You can take that with you. He likes to do impossible things in hopeless situations. Church, I'm grateful that I've had enough of those moments in my life and in my family history that my first expectation in an impossible scenario is that God wants to do an impossible thing. And I want that to be in your life as well. So the next time you reach an impossible scenario, your first thought is, well, God wants to do an impossible thing. Let's read in the book of Ezekiel chapter 37, just the first 14 verses there. Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 14. It says this: "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' So I answered, 'O Lord God, you know.' And again he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also, he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded. And breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord." Now, we mentioned hope earlier because that's where these people are. They are in a hopeless situation. And verses 1 and 2 set up the context for our passage where Ezekiel was in the valley, and he says this valley is full of bones. It's full of death. It says that they were very many. It's full of a lot of death. And they were very dry. And I don't know if you can, but it seems like he said that they are very dead. They are very dead. They're not just dead, they are very dead. The first thing we want to look at this morning is we need to recognize where we are. What is happening and what God is calling us to. I want you to take a moment and think about where you are. I want you to start small. You personally, where are you? And I'm not talking about in the church building. That's a great place to be. But where are you in your life? What are you doing? Where are you going? And what does God want you to do? And when you think about that, I want you to take the next step and think about your family. Where is your family? Where are they going? And what does God want your family to do? And then take another step and think about the circle around you, your friends, your acquaintances, maybe your job. Where is it going? What does God want to do there? And then take one final step about our valley or wherever you are from. What does God want to do in this valley? What does God want to do? And where are you as a part of that? Ask yourself this question. What impossible thing should I be believing for and praying for with hope and expectation that God will do it? God doesn't call you to hope for things that He doesn't plan to do. And if it's from Him, it can happen through Him. Can you receive that this morning? We must recognize the need or the desire from God to do a thing, whatever He is calling you to. We must see the death or the destruction like the bones for Ezekiel and remember that God pointed this out to Ezekiel. God will lead you to see things, to open your eyes, to see if you've caught His heart to do a thing. To bring life to something. What is around you that He has brought you to bring life to? Do you see the need? He has brought you there to have His heart for that people or that place or that thing. And at the same time, we don't fixate on death itself, but rather the need or the desire that God wants to meet that death with life. So you don't fixate on the bad situation or the friend or the family member dead in their sin or the sickness or the hardship or the fact that sometimes you and I both screw up things. You don't fixate on those. You recognize it. You repent if necessary. And then you fix your eyes on that God wants to do a new thing. And He wants to bring life to that situation. And then you start praying. And you start being that difference. His ability to change a situation, to save someone, to heal, to deliver, to make new, is what we focus on. We focus on Him. We need to recognize who God is and what He's capable of. And when I was writing this message, I began to think that sometimes we don't give God enough credit. He's literally, get this, capable of anything. Anything. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I act like I'm in it alone. Or I pray from such a desperate position, not a good desperation, but a bad desperation of God. Like, You're going to let me fall. You're going to let me trip. And hallelujah, sometimes God lets us trip to get us back onto the path, even if we fall onto it. Can you receive that this morning? But we need to recognize who God is and what He's capable of. Ezekiel knew the Lord. And the Lord showed him his own heart for his people. Because get this, church, the closer we get to God, the bigger our heart for his people will be. The closer we get to God, the bigger our heart for his people will be. To love them, to serve them in any capacity. And that doesn't mean necessarily that he's going to call you to be a pastor or a missionary, even though we need some. And he might. But we also need just church workers. We need people that will reach the lost, that will do outreach, that will work with our youth, our kids, be a first pastor in a nursery, that'll do construction jobs. God gives you talents, or he'll help you through moments in your life to reach people. So even if you don't have the talent, if you're the only one, God will use you. God will use you because you're available. I'm thankful he doesn't only take the most in shape, best looking, talented people. You might make it, but I wouldn't. He just wants you to be available. How does God want to use you to touch his people? That's part of recognizing where you are. You have a mission that God wants to use you in. So we come to this place where we recognize that God's plans are better than ours. Sometimes, if you're like me, you have to re-recognize that. And even if those plans look impossible, they are still better. And that God is gathering his people. And I'll ask you this, why is he gathering his people? Because he wants to accomplish something with his people. We see this historically in our passage with the Jewish people. God gathers them, and he does that time and time again. He's still doing that today. He's gathering because they still have a purpose and a plan for them. And we also see it with his church, that he is gathering us for a purpose. You've heard me say it before, that sin and selfishness and the enemy cause separation. But God brings restoration and unity. So if you're thinking about any type of separation this morning, it might not be from the Lord. God is in the business of unifying his people. We're not saying that God will make you rich or anything like that. He could. But he's going to bring you to life. Because he's brought you into his kingdom, which is life. Think about this for a moment. Each Israelite in our passage was part of the kingdom. They were part of life and restoration. So get this. The parts of your life that you have placed in the kingdom should experience life. The parts of you that you place in the kingdom will experience life. If there's a dead place in your life, check and see if it is part of God's plan and kingdom. The dreams, the plans that are kingdom dreams and plans, not just your dreams and plans, but are from God. The jobs that also do the work of the kingdom, where God has you there for a reason, spreading Jesus. The relationships that experience the kingdom of God because you bring Jesus into the relationship, even the difficult ones where you have to be like Jesus. These all can have life in them when we place them in the kingdom of God. Because life is in the kingdom. God is gathering kingdom people to accomplish kingdom things. You need to get that this morning. If you can receive that, we'll begin to change our mindset. Because we're people of the kingdom. We're people of the Spirit. So everything we do should be with that in mind. How does this expand the kingdom? How does this bless the kingdom? How does this spread the kingdom? Can you receive that this morning? We have to be kingdom-minded. Now, God will call you to different things. I want you to think about this. Sometimes he might call people to be financially well off in order to spread the kingdom of God. And equally, he might call people to not be well off so they have more time to spread the kingdom. God is going to call you to what will spread the kingdom of God most through your life. And whatever gives God the most glory, you should happily receive that. Because God is your joy. He is your portion. He fills your cup. And I'll tell you this, God is better. You and I will never be fulfilled outside of God's plan. So if God calls you to some out-of-the-way place that you don't want to go, it might be hard, but you will be more fulfilled than any other moment in your life. And equally, if he calls you to stay in a place that you might not even at this moment want to be, if it gives God glory, you can receive more fulfillment from being in that place than anywhere else in this world. It's so interesting. This wasn't in my notes, but I'll give you a little moment of my life. How many people like going on vacation? Everyone should raise their hand. We're in church, don't lie. You know, I like going on vacation too. But towards the end of my vacation, I get to this place where I miss being in what God has for me to do. I miss fulfilling the purpose. And you can do part of your purpose wherever you're at in this world. God might call you to go on vacation. I receive that in the name of Jesus. But we come to this place where we long for the will of God in our life. And that's the place we want to remain. That no matter what it looks like, no matter how impossible it may seem, we have hope and expectation that God is going to move. And when we know God will move, then we move that same direction. Again, God is gathering kingdom people to accomplish kingdom things. And we recognize that in verse 1 of our passage, it was the hand of God, the Spirit of God that came first. What I mean by that is that Ezekiel was sent to a place. He was sent to a valley. Before it came to life, he was sent there for a reason. The Spirit of God is and has led you to this place. He's led you to this place. His Spirit is leading you to put yourself and all you do and all you have into his kingdom purpose and his kingdom plan. If he has called you here, then be here. Be here with all you have, with all you've got. There is a purpose that you can step into. You will find all the fulfillment that you could ever want or need, sometimes more than you want. But God wants to move, and he has called us here to do something. Let's step into that something. I'll go even a little farther. You were sent to this valley to see life brought to it. To spark hope in a people and see salvation. I'll tell you this, there is a rumbling of the bones in this valley because God wants to bring life to it. And church, he wants to use you. Not just me or any other leader or any person on this stage. He wants to use you. Will you speak life to this place, to your family, to your job? Will you speak life to it and expect God to move? Church, when we recognize all of these things, we move into the next point where we readjust. We recognize and then we readjust. I want you to take a moment and look again over your life, over your family, your circle, over your valley, and ask yourself, can these bones live? Can these bones live? This is the question that the Lord asks Ezekiel. And I want you to remember what Ezekiel had been seeing and saying before this. He uses words like, this valley is full of bones. It's very many bones. They're very dry. To Ezekiel, the first glance is this place will only ever be death. Heartache, hopelessness. It's what all that symbolized. Everything was dead. And so God asks him, surrounded by that much death, God asks you, surrounded by all the death around you, do you believe I can bring life to the most dead of places? When you look at that place in your life, in your family, in your valley, can God do it? Can he move here? Do you actually believe he can? Can he repair your marriage, your family, bring that son or daughter back? Can he repair your wrecked finances, those lost friends, the sick body, all of that? Can he do it? Can he bring life to our entire valley? Do you believe that every church in this valley can be full? Do you believe that with God's help, we can see the homeless problem fixed? Do you believe that our crime rates, addiction rates, suicide rates can not just drop but be eradicated? I'll tell you this, it wouldn't be the first time in history that God comes into a place and radically changes it. It's not the first time. We're talking about the God of the impossible. Do you believe that God not just can, but wants to move? Yeah. I love Ezekiel's answer here. It's the same answer that I think some of us would give when asked, can you do this thing? He answers, well, you know. It's a very safe answer. It's a good place to start, and I don't think God was mocked or anything by that answer. And I'm sure Ezekiel said it with some humility, but God is asking, he's asking us, what are we willing to believe for? And maybe to readjust our thinking. You know, I found a story a little while back. It was one of those stories you heard the beginning of and you had to keep listening. And it was about a small group of men, about 800 Hungarian soldiers that held off an army of about 60,000 for 25 days in the siege of Koszeg, if you want to give it a listen or a read. And they were such a thorn in the enemy's side that finally, after 25 days, the army of 60,000 said, look, if you will just surrender, we'll let the last 200 of you ride out of here almost like you won. You can finally just leave in order to stop the battle so the larger enemy, the larger army, could get to the actual battle that they were headed for. Because get this, there was a season, a window for attack. This was several hundred years ago where everything had to kind of culminate right. The weather had to be good. It had to be in the spring and in the summer for the army to go out and get back before winter would hit. And that's the type of force we can be, that we pester the enemy so much to such a degree that he loses his window of attack. A small force did that because they had made up their minds that their stand in a small out-of-the-way place would give time for a larger city to prepare and that they would save tens of thousands. And they did that by preparing and training well, something of which we need to do as well. But even more than that, they believed that what they did mattered and that it could be done, even if it cost them everything. Church, what you do matters. Even if it costs you everything, you could be the one breakthrough that ends up, because of what you do, saves thousands of people. Are you willing to be life to a place? Even a small group can make an impact, but church, we're not a small group. Do you believe that God can move and can work and can restore, can bring back to life even something that everyone else, maybe even you, thought was dead? Can God bring it back to life? Yes, he can. Ezekiel was called to take action. We see that multiple times in this passage, to go, to speak out, to do whatever it is that God had told him to do. He was called to speak truth into a situation, even a truth that seemed impossible, a truth like that Jesus heals, a truth like Jesus restores a marriage. Jesus saves people. Jesus can see me through this season. And Jesus can save this entire valley. If we believe that, and I mean actually believe that, then we must speak that way. We must act that way. Did you know the Greek word for believe, pisteo, is to be persuaded of? To be persuaded of, and hence place confidence in, to trust, to have reliance upon. So that means this. That means this. Someone believes because they heard you speaking and were persuaded by what you said and the way you lived, so that they too put their trust in God. You persuade people. That's not a bad word. You want everyone to know about Jesus. And some of those people are going to say, I want that. But in a very real moment here, church, how can they receive what they don't hear? That's where we come in. God, give me every opportunity to speak and persuade the gospel to people. That has to be the heartbeat of every church and every Christian. That it is up to me to stand in the gap for any one person. I'm going to tell you this. You are the answer, because Jesus is the answer and he lives in you and he uses you. You are the answer to someone's prayer. And I lost myself in my notes, but Jesus is good. I'll go a little farther in that. This is where we are as a church. We are preparing for God to move. Like in that story I told you a little earlier with the 800 men They prepared for several years to be ready for any obstacle or thing that could happen. They were ready, and they were preparing each other. They studied the tactics of the enemy even to be ready. And that's where we are. We're preparing for an influx of people being saved that we want to disciple. If you did not know this, you'll hear me say it pretty often, I think. Our mission is to not steal people from any other church. We want to see the lost saved. That is our mission. We want to see dead people come to life. And we're working and we're planning to see that. Our desire is to equip you. For you to take every battle that you encounter. For you to stand your ground. For your family. For your life. For your circle. For your church and for your valley. Again, you have been called to this place for this time. I believe that God has been orchestrating things because He wants to move across our valley. He's been putting pastors together, actually working together, some of them. Because Christians are supposed to be united. We're supposed to be one. We're one body. So when we talk about the Church of the Valley, we're talking about capital C. Every Christian in the valley. Every church that preaches the actual Word of God. Verse 5 of our main passage, it says this. I will cause. It's talking about the bones coming together, bringing back to life. And in our context, it is God who does the supernatural work. It is God that brings together, God who restores and heals and makes new. But it is you and I that has to go and walk it out. There is a call and response here that's happening with Ezekiel. And we need to key into that because we are called to go to do whatever God has called us to do. And it is God that does the work to make it happen. Remember, God chose not to move until Ezekiel went. He chose not to move until Ezekiel went. Church, we have to go. God usually works through His people. And God brings us together as a body for a purpose. Verse 6 says, "So you shall believe." Speaking of Israel, God was keeping them alive, bringing them back to the promise that they were meant for, restoring them and restoring their purpose. And it's similar for us. God brings us to life in Christ and His life in every area of our lives so that you shall know that He is the Lord, so that everyone around you should know that He is the Lord. When you step into His plans and into His life, He breathes upon you with His Spirit. And your eyes are opened to who He is. I love the response of Ezekiel in verse 7. It says, "So I prophesied as I was commanded." The proper response of seeing who God is obedience. Proper response of seeing who God is obedience. And I want to encourage you today, if you are struggling with obedience in any area of your life, ask God to reveal Himself to you. If you're struggling with anything, if you need healing, God, reveal yourself as the healer to me. You need provision, you are the provider, Lord. Reveal yourself to me. Whatever it is, He's probably got a name for it. Of who He is, His name. We can recognize where we are, and then we can readjust to where we should be. And when we do those two things, we then need to release some stuff. we have to first off release control. Do I have any people in the room that like to be in control? I will raise my hand. We have to release control. Ezekiel says, I prophesied as I was commanded. Obedience takes release. Will you obey the Lord even in an instance that does not make sense or looks impossible? I want you to think for a moment. Would you go to a field of bones, look around, and begin to tell those bones to live? Would you do that? There's only two people that would, people that are obedient and people that are crazy. A little closer to home, would you go to the hospital led by the Spirit and pray over someone to come back to life? Or to get off of their sick bed? Church, this is not far-fetched. This is Christianity. That God still works and moves. He does miracles. And he's calling you to do the impossible through him. Because remember, you go, he does the work. So if you pray for someone, get this. This will open up your prayer life. If you pray for healing on someone and they don't get healed, that's not your fault. You pray and believe like they will be healed. It is up to God to heal. It's up to you to go. Just go. Expect God. God's telling Ezekiel here to do the impossible. And I'll remind us that Jesus raised the dead. The New Testament church operated in signs and wonders. Paul prayed for a kid that fell out of a window and brought him back to life. Proof that a boring sermon does kill. But when we release our control and our pride, God releases his spirit and his breath. We see that in verse 9 and 10. When we ask for the breath and the spirit, and those words in the Hebrew language are interchangeable, breath, wind, and spirit. They're all word plays on the same thing. So when we ask for the wind of the Spirit or the breath of God, his Spirit to come, you know what he does? He comes. He comes. And I want to point out in verse 8, it says that all the bones came together, the sinews, the flesh, the skin, and there was an exceedingly great army. I want two thoughts with that. First, God will raise his army to take back the land. He's raised us up to take back the land. And second, even though the army had come together, it wasn't ready to take the land until it was filled with the Spirit. We, of course, know that part of that is prophetic of salvation, the work of the Holy Spirit at salvation. But we also know the word filled in the New Testament means to keep being filled. So even if you are saved, you are to keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that empowers us. The Holy Spirit that led Ezekiel to recognize where he was, that led him to readjust his thinking of what God can and wants to do. And now the Spirit leads him to release any control that he had and be obedient, and then pray for the release of the Spirit on a place that was dead to come back to life. The Spirit will lead you to do the impossible. If your dreams or desires don't seem impossible, they might not be from the Lord. And get this, before we go to war, we have to be filled. We live in a spiritual war. That is our warfare, not of flesh and blood, but of principalities, powers. and things that we can't even see. We are people of the Spirit, so we can do battle and work in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will lead us in all these ways. But like Ezekiel, we have to ask. Make sure it is God who leads you to do something, and then ask for the Spirit of God. Ask for Him to be in your marriage, your problem, your relationship, your business, that healing that you need to see. Ask for the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God in your life and in you. And release your hold on those things. Let Him lead. Let Him have His work in you. Because even if He leads you to a valley of dead bones, He can bring it back to life. Don't be ashamed of where God leads you. Don't be fearful of it, because He has bigger plans in store. He has bigger plans in store. So us, like the army, are only ready when we're filled with the Spirit of God. So we prepare and we ask and we receive. We recognize where we are, we readjust our thinking, and we release control so God will release His Spirit. And then we receive it. Then we receive it. We can't leave that part out. We receive the Spirit of God to have His way in our life. A little while ago, we were talking about wanting to be that type of church that just does what God wants. That we don't have to do anything because of tradition, even though traditions can be good. We do everything because God wants it done. That's my prayer probably before every service that we have. God, I want to do the things that You want, and I don't want to do anything that You don't want. If we can live in that place, I think it's irresistible to God, but not to come. As the worship and prayer team comes, in verses 12 and 14 through 14, they show us that God doesn't just bring things back to life, but He brings things and people back to the place they're supposed to be. The place they're supposed to be. You see, He raised an army to take back a land. He's raising you to take back a family. He's raising you to take back a place. He's raising our church to take a valley. And I pray that He's raising a valley to take a state. And maybe a state, a nation. And maybe a nation that sends people around the world. You are not just saved. You are part of the kingdom of God. And this is where you take territory and promises are fulfilled. And He takes you on His path, the right path. You take the Spirit you are filled with to the places that are meant to be filled. It is you and I who take the valley, because the Spirit is in us, and say, come to life. Come to life. The fourth word for today is respond. It's time to respond. Let's respond to the death in or around us, in our families, in our friends, in our valley, and say, come back to life. Will you stand across this place? You might need prayer this morning to recognize some things, where you are at truly, or where God wants you to be. You might need some prayer this morning to readjust your thinking on some things, to get it to where God wants you to think. And you might need to release some things, maybe the control you have, because God wants to work in and through you. And if that is you this morning, I want to ask you to come and do that right now. Come pray with our team. It's not a shameful thing to get to where God wants you to be. If you need to do any of those, to recognize, to readjust, or release, then do that now. Come. Come if that's you and begin to pray. And while you're coming, in the middle here, I want to ask if this word from the Lord has touched your heart and you are beginning to catch the need, because the death around us in our valley, the need for the body of Christ to come together, and the need for the Spirit of God to breathe back on a place. Now I want to ask you to come and intercede with me for our valley. Because I believe that there is a rumbling here. And I know God wants to move. So if you've caught a heart for that, then come and intercede with me. Let this be the beginning of a move of God. We want it. We need it. Church, will you stand in the gap and be that person that says, come back to life. Come back to life. As the worship team begins to lead us, make that your prayer this morning. Come back to life. Breathe in this place, oh God. Church, raise your voice and begin to pray. Come back to life here. Breathe in this place. Do it in me. Do it in my family. Do it in my work. Do it in this valley. From this building, from my home, wherever I am, wherever I walk, wherever my car goes, I'm taking the valley for Jesus, and I pray wherever I am, there would be life. That our valley would come back to life. That every church in this valley would experience a great move of God. That no church, no building can hold what you are doing, Lord. Let your Spirit breathe through every church that doesn't even believe it's for today. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into our valley. Come bring back to life. Breathe on these dry bones. Lord, we pray for every marriage that needs it, that you would restore it. God, we pray for every person that is struggling with depression or darkness or deception, that you would breathe life into them. Lord, for every heartache that's going on, for every longing, Lord, for every lust, Lord, breathe back to life. Lord, for every lost son and daughter, for every homeless person, for every addicted person, bring back to life. God, make us desperate, a people that are willing to stand in the gap so the kingdom of God spreads. Give us opportunities to see the gospel spread. Lord, grow our church so we have greater numbers to spread the gospel. Help us to focus everything on Jesus and be willing to just be led by your Holy Spirit. Lord, we worship and thank you for all of this, God. Come back to life, this valley. Bring us back to life, Jesus.